You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
All right, how are the Rockets feeling about some of the superstar players that might be available to them, if that's the direction they want to go? I feel like it's safe to say, like, their first choice, and it's even mentioned in this piece by Kelly Eco and Sam Amick on The Athletic. The piece that went up yesterday was Rockets Ime Udoka put playoff disappointment aside to focus on critical offseason. It's a really good piece. We'll get into the star players here in just a second. The first half of the article is actually a pretty lengthy conversation with Udoka that talks about, Seth, his failure against the Warriors in the postseason, now in two places, in the NBA Finals in Boston a few years ago, and then in the first round to this Warriors team in 2025. There were some interesting things Udoka had to say.
Yeah, and the one thing he pointed to especially was, you know, it didn't make it about him versus Kerr specifically, but the fact that the Warriors are just so cohesive. They've got, I think he used the word symmetry. There's just, everybody knows the system so well. They know what the other guys are all going to do. They operate at such a high level that you only get that way when you've had a consistency with your players, and especially when one of your key players is Stephon Curry and Draymond Green, that's something that takes time. He wasn't making excuses or anything. He just said it was very apparent. They do this pre-camp, or this pre-playoffs camp, where they kind of get everybody ready and really, you know, learn it and schooled up on exactly what their strategies are and everything. But the Warriors just already naturally have a lot of that. Yep. They've been through it so many times that you just need, they need more time with it. It was very much, at least the way the article framed it, and in reading the quotes from Udoka, it felt very much like a, yeah, look, we got to run this back with a lot of these young guys because there's a lot of potential. They just need more time together.
Yeah, it's the first playoff series for a lot of these guys. With the respect to the Warriors, we'll circle back to the Rockets. It does make you think, that's a real testament to Jimmy Butler that he came in that trade, having not played much basketball this year, but that he came in there and immediately elevated that group, you know, like they were a much better team in the second half of the season with Jimmy Butler in there for a team that, as you point out, is all about symmetry and cohesion and, the hammering away, the repetition over time. It's a real testament to Jimmy Butler and his impact that he fit in so seamlessly with that group.
Well, and that's one thing that if you think about, if it's the right guy, if it's Jimmy Butler, who's got a known record of being really good in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's something where, hey, the Warriors have all of that with their system and their cohesiveness. Yet at the same time, when you throw something new into the mix, that for the teams that have gotten used to playing against the Warriors, all of a sudden it's something different. In a weird way, it's a little bit like how Ginobili was with the Spurs, where the Spurs played a certain type of basketball, and then Ginobili was just an absolute wild card.
Yeah.
And that was a year-in, year-out basis.
Yep.
But it was enough that it just kind of threw enough – just spontaneity or randomness into the equation that you just can't figure the Spurs out because they're all playing this version of beautiful basketball, and then Ginobili's just an M80 thrown into the mix. Yep. You feel like you might have a good beat on playing the Warriors, and all right, we know how to handle them, and we've seen them a few times this year. Oh, but now they've got Jimmy Butler.
They got Jimmy Butler. Yeah.
So it's going to be actually a lot of the same, but also a lot different.
Here's what Kelly Eco and Sam Amick say in this article here. This is an article about the Rockets heading into the offseason. There's three specific superstars that get mentioned before Giannis gets mentioned. We got a whole thing we can do on Giannis. But Kevin Durant has been the name that's probably come up most often, probably even more than Giannis. Giannis has been more of a recent thing since Milwaukee got knocked out of the playoffs, and now with the news yesterday that Giannis is open to looking at other possible places to go play basketball. Durant's been a topic all season long because the Phoenix Suns have stunk all season long. So the thought is he's going to want up and out of there. If you're somebody who does not want Kevin Durant, sit tight because you're going to enjoy this paragraph. While Durant is widely seen as the most attainable of that group, the group of superstars, he's known to be very interested in playing in Houston. Team sources said the Rockets still have significant reservations about that possible partnership, in large part because Durant's age, 36, would be so out of sync with their younger timeline. It's worth noting that previous talks between the teams about Durant, team sources said, were initiated by Phoenix. Right. So that would have been around the trade deadline, I would imagine.
Yeah, and it's a tough one because he's 38 years old. He's going to be 38 years old.
36 is what the article
36,
says.
Okay,
here.
36 yeah. years old. He's 30. Yeah, 38. That's weird. There's a big difference between 38 and 36. It could be that thing that just, all right, for these next couple of years, that just puts you over the top and it enters you into a new category, a new altitude for what you can expect. But at what price to the younger guys who then won't be around when Kevin Durant is gone
yeah.
or retires or forces his way off the team?
Yep.
And can you be patient enough and just stay your course and do it with younger guys? That's where Antetokounmpo, when you look at Antetokounmpo versus Durant, obviously Durant makes a lot more sense for how to balance this squad out, especially when you worry about spacing in the front court and everything. And yet, when it comes to the age part of it, man, Antetokounmpo's 30. Yes, he's older than those guys, but he's probably got 6 or 7 more great years of basketball.
Sure, yeah.
And then the consideration isn't as much about age for me as just that he's going to get a supermax contract at some point, and it makes it, you're not trading away your picks, but it makes it hard to retain some of these younger guys on down the road.
It's tough when you trade some of these younger guys because you have two groups of assets. You got these younger guys, you know, the young 5 or 6 guys they've drafted, and you've got all these picks. A lot of them are Phoenix's picks, which makes a Durant, or we'll talk about Devin Booker here in just a second. But the problem is any trade, even for Durant, is going to probably involve both, you know, the like assets in each of those categories. It's one thing if you're trading away young players, and you're like, all right, well, we still got all these first-round picks. We can backfill the young players. Now, it's going to be hard to have the hit rate the Rockets have had. The Rockets have had an excellent hit rate in the first round with the guys they've drafted high and even with the guys they've drafted in the middle of the first round, like Şengün and Tari Eason. That's really hard to replicate. Yeah, I tend to agree with this, man. I Durant would scratch you right where you itch. If Durant were the one who were 30 and Giannis was the one who was 36, it's a no-brainer, and you probably are like stacking up all these assets. All right, let's go. As long as they don't touch Amen Thompson and one or two of the other young guys, they can have their choice of all these picks, and let's go. But Durant being 36, I'm kind of with the team on this one. I've vacillated back and forth. And again, like any of these trades, I need to know what exactly you're giving up to get him. You know, if the trade market for Durant winds up being not as bad as you think it's going to be, or not as expensive as you think it's going to be, that changes the conversation. Devin Booker is the other Phoenix Sun player that the Rockets have had serious interest in, but team sources said that is no longer the case. Not only, Seth, do team officials still have faith in Jalen Green, I'm reading from the article here, who is 5 years younger than Booker and $66 million cheaper over the next 3 seasons, but also Booker's struggles last season shifted the thinking on this front. And then there's Zion Williamson, who gets mentioned here. I feel dirty even reading a sentence, but just to close out, As for Zion, who spent the majority of the last six seasons falling short of expectations, the Rockets see him as too risky.
Well, and this is where the other part about this article is that Kelly Eco says, hey, the team feels a lot differently about Jalen Green than the Rockets fandom at large, I think, or at least a lot of people in the Rockets fandom. And they point that, hey, yeah, he was getting double teamed and blitzed a whole bunch. Where I guess I got to try to remember this, too, because it was, you know, with Jalen Green, you just simply can't act like he's not a valuable basketball player.
Sure.
He's obviously very valuable. He had a really bad series. But also, when it comes to him making better decisions or being more patient, like, it helps a lot for a young guard to also have a team that's doing everything away from the ball the right way. And they just haven't established that trust to where, all right, part of it is, yes, Jalen Green has to be more calm, cool, collected in the clutch and when he's getting blitzed like that. But he's also got to have options, and he's got to have trust and understanding of exactly where everybody's going to be. And that's where I can talk myself up into the upside of Jalen Green just by the team as a unit playing better around him.
Yeah.
I'm still doubtful that he's ever going to be a genuine NBA superstar, but I can't sit here and act like, oh yeah, no, he's garbage because of that one series.
No, and I think teams around the league see it that way too. I don't think they look at that Golden State series like, oh, he was amazing all season long, and then in these seven games or six of the seven games, he wasn't good. And so that closes the book on him. I think there's a lot of teams that still see a ton of value in Jalen Green.
The other thing with Durant, I just pulled up the oldest guys to make an all-star team in NBA history. Yeah. And 38 is kind of like a soft cutoff point for a lot of them, really. There have only been six instances of a player making the all-star team above the age of 38.
Okay.
And now with the NBA, you know, there's always the fan voting and everything skews things. Like, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had three of those.
That's who I was going to get. Kareem and LeBron probably eat up a few of those.
And,
right?
And Kareem, the last couple times he made, like the last year he made it, he was 41. He averaged 10 points a game that year. You know, so that was a name thing. Nowitzki, he made it when he was 40. He was averaging 7.3 points per game.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like they were still playing at their prime.
If you get a
whatsoever.
Kevin Durant that averages 7.3 points a game, you've made a bad trade.
I feel like with like 38, and then Michael Jordan when he was with the Wizards. Yeah. All right. That wasn't classic or peak Michael Jordan.
No.
So LeBron's the only guy that's actually past the age of 38 been still playing at a high level.
At a high level, yeah.
Yeah. And then beyond that, you have, you know, your Tim Duncan's, your Karl Malone's, those guys made it when they were 38 years old.
Yeah.
So I don't. Yeah, 38. 30, so these next couple of years for Kevin Durant, if you go by history, it might be it for him for being a really, really influential basketball player.
And that's it.
I'm out on him.
No, then that's a good way to frame it. Like, are you willing to trade? I don't think you can reasonably say you're trading for more than a couple of years of the Durant that you need, the version of Durant that you need in order to win at the level that you're hoping to, you know, to win at a championship level. Like, I think Durant's probably got 2 years of that left.
He'll be 37 next year.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah. It's kind of like with wide receivers when they turn 32.
A little bit.
There's a line of demarcation at the age of 32 where the vast majority of really good wide receivers fall off after 32. There's a few that make it, but it's
rare.
Even the great ones succumb to
father
time.
Which brings us to Giannis. Who says he's willing to look outside Milwaukee. And so now it's on. Here was Brian Windhorst yesterday on ESPN saying these are the two teams that make the most sense for Milwaukee to be talking to about a Giannis Antetokounmpo trade.
Two things you have to know about the Bucks when you consider a trade. Number one, the Bucks do not control their first-round pick for 5 years. That means if the Bucks are going to trade him, thinking that they're going to tank for the next 3 years and rebuild is not going to happen. They need quality players, and the other thing that you need to know is if you're going to trade Giannis to a team that's going to be a super team, getting that team's draft assets is not exciting because they're not going to be very high picks for the next few years. So you're going to look at teams that have players to trade and other teams' draft assets that they can trade besides theirs. San Antonio and Houston.
Okay. So Windhorse is to visualize, shoulders drop down, leaning up right into the camera saying, San Antonio and Houston. And I think that audio came from yesterday before the NBA draft lottery. I think that's something worth pointing out, Seth, is that the San Antonio Spurs just became a little bit better equipped to make a Giannis Antetokounmpo trade by having one of their two lottery picks they had yesterday drop in at number two in the draft. I mean, the only thing it would have been worse is if it went all the way up to number one, and then they could actually flirt with the idea of mixing Cooper Flagg into a Giannis Antetokounmpo trade. But San Antonio, and Bobby Marks, who's a former GM in the league, wrote a long article where he put all 29 other teams besides the Bucks, all 29 other teams into tiers as far as their likelihood or their wherewithal to go get Giannis Antetokounmpo. And the top two teams in their own tier are the Rockets and the Spurs. That's the crazy thing about this. Like, if the Rockets want to do a Giannis Antetokounmpo trade, and Giannis Antetokounmpo is amenable to coming to Houston, it can get done. There is plenty to make that deal happen. The question is, my big question, you know, when you see these trades for Antetokounmpo, like the one that The Athletic had last week, where Amen Thompson, Alperen Şengün, Jalen Green, and other stuff is all going to Milwaukee, are you not just really taking the team Giannis was on in Milwaukee that got knocked out of the first round of the playoffs and recreating it here to some degree? Like, yeah. If you're bringing in Giannis and you trade the three best players in your young core, the three best, and you bring in Giannis to stay back here and play with Tari Eason, Fred VanVleet, and Dylan Brooks in the West.
Yeah.
I mean, aren't you just kind of the Milwaukee Bucks? Haven't you just turned the Milwaukee Bucks into the Houston Rockets and turned the Houston Rockets into the Milwaukee Bucks? You know, and I'm not saying like you'd be a bad team. You'd be a playoff team in the West, but you're trying to win a championship. I don't think if you trade all those young guys away and it's Giannis here with the leftovers, that's a championship level team, and it needs to be in the next couple of years for that trade to make sense.
It's kind of like how the Browns traded for Deshaun Watson, where even if Deshaun Watson had worked out, there was parts of it that felt like they were trading for the right to be the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
Which was, okay,
no
a guy with a quarterback that you feel good about, but with no picks or anything to build for the future,
yes,
and put you in a bind salary cap-wise,
yeah,
which is what the Texans were already for 2 years.
Right.
And they're 3 years with Deshaun Watson by the time they traded him. They ended up being exactly like the Houston Texans with Deshaun Watson.
Exactly.
Except without the salary cap-wise and picks-wise and everything, except that they also didn't get any good play out of Deshaun Watson.
Zero, yeah. At least the Texans got a 5,000-yard season. Yeah, I just feel like...
I don't want to trade for the right to be the Bucks.
That's exactly right. For what it's worth, the Rockets are the favorite to land Giannis Antetokounmpo on DraftKings, 9.5-1 to land him. Last time a former MVP was traded in his prime, James Harden by the Houston Rockets in 2021. Circle of life. It would only stand to reason, Seth, that after this, the 4 years since that James Harden trade, that the Rockets would be the next team to be involved in a trade of a former MVP in his prime, except this time they would be getting the former MVP, not trading him out.
Circle of life.
That's a sign that your rebuild worked, man. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, Bill Belichick is going to do an interview with Michael Strahan on Friday. I've got big questions about this. This live interview that's going to take place on Good Morning America with Belichick. Yet another conspiracy theory involving Belichick. And proof positive that you've made it as a journalist when this happens to you. We will have that for you coming up next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Quick text, and then we'll get to Bill Belichick here and the latest in that saga. I'm a Longhorn, and I've loved watching Durant's career, but I don't see how he's a whole lot less risky than Zion. Sir, or ma'am, I am going to read to you the number of games played in Zion Williamson's six seasons in the NBA. 24, 61, 0, 29,
ooh.
70,
whoa,
and 30 this past season. I don't know what I like, and I know Kevin Durant's had injury issues. He tore an Achilles several years ago, whatever. There is nobody who is a bigger injury risk right now in that strata of player than Zion Williamson. I would also submit that I have zero concern about Kevin Durant eating himself out of the league when he comes to Houston. In fact, he could probably stand to put on a few pounds. Conversely, Zion Williamson, I think, if depending on what part of town he lives in, he might weigh 400 pounds by the time training camp rolls around. So that's the risk, sir. And by the way, Kevin Durant's drama off the court is he gets upset with people on Twitter. Zion Williamson's off the court drama involves all sorts of stuff, baby mamas and everything else. So with all due respect, Zion Williamson significantly riskier than Kevin Durant, in my opinion.
Yeah, he hasn't. I mean, the closest he in any given season, he's playing fewer than half the games.
His early 20s,
wherein it's very easy to point to. Okay, yeah, and the guy's a gigantically massive human being running up and down the court every night. It's not rocket science or some mystery of physiology why he's getting injured all the time.
Yes,
he's a large human being who gets injured a lot. And he's getting older. He's getting older every single minute, Sean.
Every single
That's another
minute?
Thing about Zion Williamson.
Yeah.
Time affects him just the same as it does everybody else.
Amen to that. All right, so here was Pablo Torre, who did the Pablo Torre, the journalist who, and also a podcast host, frequent guest on ESPN, various panel shows, did a deep dive investigation on the whole Bill Belichick, Jordan Hudson, that's Belichick's girlfriend, and what the dynamic is at the University of North Carolina, where he came back and reported after talking to 11 sources close to either Belichick or the UNC program that Jordan Hudson had been banned from the football facility. North Carolina put out a statement a couple of days later saying she is welcome at the North Carolina football facility.
In a non-football capacity.
Yeah, yeah.
That was she's welcome as a personal relation to Bill Belichick, but not in any part of the football program. Yeah.
So that's kind of where we are with that. So Pablo Torre, since doing that podcast, it was about an hour-long podcast where he revealed all his findings in this, did not talk about this on the podcast, but did talk about this as a guest on the Dan Lebatard show earlier this week, I think yesterday. Remember the ring cam video, everybody, that came out? Remember the ring cam video of Bill Belichick shirtless in front of a home, seemingly getting locked out of said home, wandering early in the morning, that popped up that we all had a good chuckle at? Here was Pablo Torre and his concern, possibly, coming out of that, you know, about a year later here, bringing that up and what the concerns could be about that.
You remember the roast of Tom Brady, where Tom Brady made that joke about Bill Belichick and the ring cam? You guys remember this at all? Different ring.
What ring cam?
Oh, no, that's the sound you... Oh. Look at this,
you're
Pablo.
You trapped us like a true journalist, the way that Billy trapped
Roy right
before.
Pablo,
got you. That right?
That's the sound we've been playing behind you, him coming out. This is actually Belichick, right? And he benches 310.
Can I tell you the story behind this video, which I couldn't even include in the episode?
Yes, please.
So the story behind this is that this was reportedly filmed, of course, at Jordan's abode. She has this whole real estate venture. She has this, you know, budding real estate empire that I didn't report, but others did. Now, the question I had as a reporter when I saw that video and am haunted by that video, audio as well, is how did the Daily Mail get that video? Huh. How does one get internal ring cam footage from a home? How does that happen? Who had access to those videos? And let's say it wasn't Jordan Hudson, just for the sake of this hypothetical that I am just merely hypothetically going into depth on. If it wasn't Jordan Hudson, who was it? And what other videos might have been taken without Bill Belichick's knowledge at almost age 70, wandering around like a bear in the woods on a porch looking for food? How else could they ensure that there is nothing else that could be monetized or used against the highest paid employee in the state of North Carolina? It's just a question that I think people, well, I can report now exclusively that Bill Belichick's family is worried about, that they're looking into. And I feel like the university that says I'm a liar might want to do the same.
Oh, this is getting good.
This is the part where, though, okay, there's a difference here because he's acting as he's a journalist in terms of the stuff that he's digging up and everything. But then he goes full sports talk
rampant
radio dude.
Speculation.
Right, right. Like, do we know for sure that he didn't sell guns to the Russians?
That's right.
I don't think we can say that he didn't. Yeah.
I haven't even thought about that.
How do we know? We already have evidence that he was wandering around like any normal human being in front of a condo locked out, as we sometimes do lose our keys. How do we know that there isn't more stuff out there? I guess we don't. You could say that about anybody. The whole ring cam thing is this. One, as people have pointed out, and as we said when we first brought this up, there's multiple different ways that footage could have leaked, including whether if they hadn't disabled the community access or whatever to the ring cam, all of that. But like, are they worried? Is Pablo Torre worried that Bill Belichick was out, like, you know, firing off his unregistered weapons into the air or something in front of the ring cam?
Right.
Yeah, there's only so much incriminating stuff you can do at somebody's doorstep unless he's pulling the old poop in a bag on fire trick or something.
Well,
let's settle down a little bit with that speculation.
I guess with the ring cam for sure, but like, you know, and this may be where the concern of Belichick's family comes in is, okay, that's just one method to record somebody doing things.
If the family is concerned that Jordan Hudson's the one that put that out there for whatever reason, or that she was sloppy enough to have it end up in the public, that what else is she being sloppy about, or what might she do or whatever? Yeah. I think the real nugget that matters here, I think, is that Pablo Torre, it sounds like he has spoken to members in the Belichick family who have reservations or concerns about his relationship with Jordan Hudson.
Which matches up with the comments on one of the social media posts where Steve Belichick's wife, Steve Belichick, Bill's son, who's the defensive coordinator at North Carolina, where she commented in reply to Nikki Glaser, where Nikki Glaser was taking up for Jordan Hudson. Nikki Glaser, the comedian, was taking up saying, the media's out for blood. And Steve Belichick's wife, Bill Belichick's daughter-in-law, said that no, professionals don't storm off the set. Yeah. Something to that effect. She was talking about
Steve Belichick's wife basically saying, hey, I married into that inheritance, not you.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, like that's...
Yeah. I mean, I want part of that big boat that says 6 rings on it. What the hell?
Yeah. So Bill Belichick is going to do a live interview with Michael Strahan on Good Morning America this coming Friday morning. It's going to be live. I do wonder what this thing is going to look like. Does Strahan ask about Jordan Hudson, I think, is a question I have. Does he ask any questions about Belichick's family, you know, in terms of how they've if the relationship comes up. I mean, it's out there now, reported by Pablo Torre and others, that, you know, that there's family issues, a possibility of Steve taking over as head coach at North Carolina. You know, is that a thing? Do you think Strahan brings up the $1 million buyout that goes into effect in a couple of weeks?
I don't think he brings that up just because that's a little too... Good Morning America is a mainstream show for the public at large. That's a little too football nerdy for that. Yeah. So I think the Good Morning America audience, which generally skews female, is, I think, probably, and not in the majority of them, not hardcore, just the Good Morning America audience, whether they're male or female, not like the hard, they're certainly not hardcore UNC fans.
Very casual sports fans.
They
probably
want the headline type of material, and certainly a lot of stuff about perhaps his family. Or I would imagine the largely female population of women who still watch network television, which is older, might be very intrigued by Bill Belichick's girlfriend being 24 years old. They have to. They have to bring up some part of that.
Very intrigued by her, and honestly, if we're being honest, probably not at all interested in his book that he's on there promoting about all his lessons of winning that he learned in football.
Yeah.
Way more interested. Oh boy, Michael Strahan has put himself in the crosshairs here. If he chooses to acquiesce, if Bill O'Brien and Jordan Hudson put in specific requests about types of questions and topics.
Yeah, but he's a little bit in that McAfee zone where, because he's not an actual journalist or a professional sports reporter.
Yeah.
He's a sports personality.
Yeah.
That he's, it, people will criticize it. Like, Florio's always criticizing Pat McAfee for not asking the hard driving questions. And McAfee's basically like, what do you want out of me? I'm just having a good time.
Yeah.
I feel like I think Strahan might veer more towards come on, I'm just having a good time.
Let's see what Mad Dog Russo has to say about this upcoming interview on Friday with Strahan and Belichick.
I would be shocked if Strahan asked him a tough question. I'd be shocked. Shocked. Absolutely shocked. Why do you think Belichick's doing it? He's doing it because, you know, it's about his book, and he doesn't want to be put on a spot. Now, listen, I'm not exactly sure. I mean, you got to ask him a question about his girlfriend. That's just all there is to it. He's been in the news. You got to ask him about whether she has been kicked off campus. I believe Pablo Torres, who, you know, put out a big statement on Friday, basically dictating exactly where he got the information from, higher ups at North Carolina and what have you. And I believe Pablo.
Okay. Sign of respect, or a sign that you've made it, when Mad Dog butchers your name on his show. Pablo Torres? Yeah. It's Torre, as in Joe Torre, manager of the Yankees, the team that you've covered for these many years, Mad Dog Russo. Now, that's interesting. Mad Dog Russo is saying that he's not going to ask a single hard question, and yet I feel like Belichick would view, did she get kicked out of the football building, as a hard question. I feel like the two of them would view that as an off-limits question.
That's the thing, is that Belichick himself wouldn't view that as a hard question. That's where, softball. It's an expected softball question. But also, Belichick's in this format now where he's doing these interviews on morning coffee-type TV shows and everything, where he's going to be asked a whole bunch of stuff that if a reporter at a Patriots press conference had asked something like that, he would think it was the dumbest question ever, even though it's not a hardball question.
Yeah.
But like, he's in a format where, no, that's not – it's A, it's not a hardball question, and B, it's exactly the kind of question you should expect when you go to a show on that. Something about your girlfriend, something about a recent news event or whatever it might be. So I shouldn't frame it in terms of hardball or softball. It's that should you be prepared and have at least a good deflection from that question?
Yeah.
And I think I'm guessing that Strahan will give Belichick a heads up about ask you about this, I gotta ask you about that.
100%.
And Belichick will have some kind of a joke or a quip about it, and they'll laugh it off, and then it'll be on into the other things.
Yeah, we'll see. I love that
it's
live.
He does ask a question about Jordan Clarkson, and does he actually broach the topic of whether or not she's been banned from the facility? Or, like, does he go that deep into it? That's a big question.
Yeah.
Or has she been – because really now the question is, UNC's rebuttal of Pablo Torre's – it wasn't a full rebuttal. They basically in the but not in a football capacity.
Did they say non-football capacity?
Yes, they basically said as a personal relationship, but not she's not part of the football program.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, that's why I didn't see it as damning a rebuttal as I think it was being framed, because they kind of set the limit there. They kind of said, like, yeah, no, she's not part of the football
program. It's an easy answer for Belichick if he just wants to point to the statement the school made. You know, the school spoke on this already. You know, it's all right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Final segment coming up. Schedule release tomorrow coming up for the Texans. They got a lot of national run last year. They got treated by the schedule makers like a team that America wanted to see. Based on their nationally televised games last season, just those games, how should we expect the league to treat the Texans tomorrow when the schedule comes out? Got the list of games here. Let's go through that coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. We'll talk to the guys on In the Loop and find out what they've got going on the show today. So the schedule comes out tomorrow for the Houston Texans, for the entire NFL. Some of the games have trickled out. We know now who the international games are going to be. We already knew the host teams for the international games. We now have both teams for all the international games. I guess the two most noteworthy things there would be, one, the Brazil game that kicks off the international schedule the Friday of week one is going to be the Chargers and the Chiefs.
Boo!
That game sounds like it's going to be on YouTube, is what they're expecting. So we are exporting a division game in the AFC West. The other interesting thing about the international schedule is that the Vikings in week four go to Ireland to face the Steelers, and then they stay over there. They stay overseas.
Where are they going to stay? Are they staying in Ireland or in London?
I don't know.
To London the next day.
I don't know. They play in Ireland in week four. They play the Steelers, and then they play the Browns in London in week five.
I would say if I were Kevin O'Connell, I would want to just go ahead and have them stay in London for that next week. At the very least, in London. Yeah, like both those countries have a big pub culture, but in Ireland, you feel like the Americans going to Ireland are going to want to really, really just prove themselves that they can hang with the Irish. And That's never a good idea.
No.
When it comes to things like that. Don't try to hang with an Irishman.
Nope.
I've tried. You guys got to remember, I've stayed in the same place as Sean for weeks at a time, and it's not, no, you're not going to do it.
Special arrangements. So yeah. Seth can get his beauty sleep, and I can come in at 3 a.m. Yes.
Well, I can't, you know, and just the, but no, yeah, and I'm 100% honest about the part of like, okay, you're in Ireland, you're there for a week. What do you do in Ireland?
That's
you
their go main out,
you
hobby.
Tour the pubs
yes.
and everything. Yeah,
yeah, that's what they do there. Yeah, I'm with you.
Plenty of great pubs in London. Don't get me wrong. It's just not as much a part of like the focal point of why you're going there.
That's right.
So, go to London.
Go to London. Good advice. All right, so we haven't seen any Texans games trickle out yet because it's not just the international games. We know what the season opener is going to be, Eagles hosting Cowboys. We've started to see some of the other games, at least one of the Christmas games has dropped today. I'll have to go look and see, but the Broncos and the Chiefs are going to play on Christmas Day, so the Chiefs back on the Christmas Day schedule. We haven't seen any of the Texans game. A few Monday night games have made their way onto the radar, which this might be an indicator that the Texans schedule is normalizing a little bit this year compared to last year when they were playing on Christmas Day. They were playing 3 games in 11 days, twice on the schedule. They played 3 primetime games in a row in the middle of the season, weeks 9, 10, and 11. So maybe the Texans are getting treated more like just your garden variety, decent NFL team as opposed to last year. Well, where it felt like they were being treated like a real team to watch last year.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah, and I think the buzz factor around C.J. Stroud is not nearly the same this year as it was last year.
Yep.
So I think that probably isn't going to move the meter as much.
Yeah.
He's been taken over by Jaden in terms of young quarterback buzz factor.
No doubt. So if we just based on their nationally televised games last season, because that may be something else that the league is looking at if they're looking like, all right, well, when we put them on a big stage, how did they do last year? Based on how they did last year, how should we expect the league to treat the Texans when the schedule comes out tomorrow? Here were their 6 games, Seth, that they had the stage to themselves. They weren't all primetime, but like Christmas, you know, stage to yourself. The Saturday game with KC, stage to yourself. They went 2-4 in those 6 games. They beat the Bears on Sunday Night Football in Week 2. That was a game where they just murdered Caleb Williams all day long.
Yeah.
They had like 7 sacks. Then they weren't on a nationally televised game again until Halloween when they lost to Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets.
Yes, yes. Aaron Rodgers and looking like peak Aaron Rodgers for at least one half
for
of
a
that
half.
Football game.
Yeah.
Made some he was a machine. He was a machine, Aaron Rodgers was in the second half.
So
of that
that's
game.
1-1 with those 2 games. Then the very next week, honestly, this might have been one of their more impressive showings on national TV, and it was a loss.
Yeah.
They lost 26-23 to the Lions in a game at home on Sunday Night Football, in a game where they intercepted Jared Goff 5 times and had a 23-7 lead at the half.
And as you pointed out, it was the first time in the history of American football that it felt like it that you could pick a quarterback off 5 times and
yeah,
lose the
it was
game.
It was one of those kind of it was one of those this is an ever this hasn't happened since 1962.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're 1-2. Continuing a week later, they played Dallas, they destroyed the Cowboys on Monday Night Football. I would imagine that carries a lot of weight because everybody hates the Cowboys. So 34-10, they beat a Cooper Rush led Cowboy team. And then
except that it wasn't a good game, I guess.
No.
So if you're just going by like, did they deliver a good? Did they deliver an intriguing performance? No, they actually blew the Cowboys out. It ended up being boring.
Yep, it was boring. And then the final 2 games were the 2 games that were 4 days apart. Kansas City, they lost that game 27-19. That was a game where Tank Dell got hurt. That sucked. And then, as if it couldn't get any worse, 4 days later, on Christmas Day, they lost 31-2 to the Baltimore Ravens.
The Chiefs game was at least a really good game.
Yes, the Texans.
The Texans were in position to take the lead late in the game. They just couldn't close the deal, and so that was a good game at least. But then the
Baltimore game was awful.
The Baltimore game was atrocious.
It was terrible.
They couldn't even do us the honor of giving us a normal football score.
No, 31-2. It might have been a scoregami. I'll have to ask Reggie. He's the
I believe it
expert.
Was a scoregami.
Yeah, I'll have to. Reggie will know for sure. We'll have to check with him. 31-2, the final score. So I guess based on the sum total of those appearances on national television, staged to themselves, 2-4 One of the four losses was a very competitive one to at the time, many people thought the best team in football, the Lions. The rest of it was just kind of ugh. I am going to guess, based purely on the performance in these nationally televised games, Seth, these six games, I'm going to give the Texans the stage to themselves three times when the schedule comes out tomorrow. I think they get a Sunday night, a Monday night, and then some other rando somewhere.
Okay.
The Houston Texans, yeah.
What the, the 31-2 was not a scoregami. The first one was the Packers versus the Boston Redskins in 1936.
Okay.
The Texans are the most recent team to
They're the one to do it in the era of television.
It's only three games have ever had a scoregami.com is fascinating. Three games have ended 31-2.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other one was the Cowboys. The sandwich one was the Cowboys in 1965. So that was the first time since 1965
All right.
The game had ended 31-2.
Yeah, man. We hadn't put anybody on the moon yet. When the first two happened, and now here we go.
And we still haven't, you idiot.
Conspiracy theories, a theme for today's show. Yeah. So, so I'm thinking three and a half. I'd put the number at, you know, for nationally. Yeah. National games for themselves.
It seems like a lot of our listeners have lost their appetite for primetime games. They just want to hey, give me some noon games. Let's just do this thing. Let me wake up early on a Sunday. Roll out of bed, barbecue is my breakfast, and here we go.
Those three games in a row on primetime last year, not weeks 9, 10, and 11, I think took a lot out of people.
Yeah.
I think they took a lot of the starch out of the nationally televised thing.
I love doing the pregame show, but I would like to have a year at some point in this job where I just go and tailgate and
have a
good time every morning before a game.
Yeah.
We smell all of the barbecue, the entire show.
Yeah.
And I see all the beer, and I can't really partake of either of them.
We get fed like once a year. Like some tailgater will bring food.
We could arrange it to get more, but I don't even like eating. Trying to eat barbecue and then go right back to your computer.
No.
It's
a lot of smudginess. Yeah, for sure. That coughing you hear in the background is John Lopez dying over there. Yeah, how you doing?
I'm fantastic. That's how are
good.
You?
I'm great. John John Lopez, Reggie Atatula. Reggie, how you feeling?
I am still flabbergasted from a lot of things that happened yesterday.
Okay.
But, you know.
Power rank them, please. What are they?
I'm going to be honest. It's the draft lottery, the way that fell yesterday. That's one.
Oh, yeah. You have ties up to Dallas.
I do.
Are you on a group text with people up there?
I am, that's a number of them, in fact. And I was just trying to get a feel for things. And, of course, like especially talking to media folks up there, they were all working in that moment, as I'm sure you might imagine.
So I'm
just sitting there like, who do I get to talk about this with? Because I kind of want to like get feels of what it felt like on the ground. Everybody's like, nah, I can't talk to you right now. Working.
So we have no feel for if the Mavericks fans, who last we saw them were protesting, not showing up for games and screaming fire Nico at games, we don't know if the ping pong balls landing a certain way have them feeling differently. I'm looking at the TV screen in our studio here. One of the questions they were talking about on First Take was, should Mavericks fans feel differently about Nico Harrison now? And I'm like, what the hell did he do?
I'll tell you what. No, but if you are, as one poll suggested, 91% of people believe that the lottery is totally fixed.
Correct.
If you do believe the conspiracy theories, then Nico Harrison should lean into it. Like, at his next press conference, he should give a little wink. You know, it was just a little bit of like, hey, you guys thought I didn't know what I was doing, huh?
Wait, you're going as far as giving a wink. People are now retrofitting. You remember that look that got caught on the television camera of him, like, you know, kind of looking to the side?
Almost a little bit,
That people are now taking that to mean.
It's like a wrestling storyline.
That's exactly what it is.
It's like, remember, boy, what great storytelling. Look at Hulk Hogan's face right there.
Exactly.
He knew the heel turn was coming there.
And that's exactly what's happening.
Oh,
hook, line, and sinker, man.
Wow.
And you got to remember, man, like, we are all sports fans.
Yeah.
And in moments where you are frustrated with the organization, deep down that frustration comes from the idea that you want to be excited. You want to be happy.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. And here comes the great white hope, Cooper Flagg, a young, talented player that looks like he's going to be some level of generational. And everybody's like, yeah, I'm back in. Like, I literally have a friend who had not just sworn off the Mavericks, not just sworn off basketball, but damn near sworn off sports. And she was just like, back. back like I never left. Like she never left. So, yeah, man.
Is that how she conducts herself in your personal relationship?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Never again, Reginald.
Neither confirm nor deny is how I will handle that.
I'm going to look through your text and I'm going to see an angry refusal to ever talk to you again, followed by the next text.
Heart.
You up?
Yep.
Yeah. Heart emojis. Yeah. By the way, Crosstalk sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing. Yeah, what's the question of the day, fellas?
Well, the question of the day is something. What is something that you have rigged or cheated on?
Okay. That's a great one. That is a great one.
Seth, I've got a couple that came
Seth,
to mind.
Do you have one? Because I have two.
I don't know. Not off the top of my head.
Yeah, Seth is an upstanding gentleman.
Seth might have zero.
Oh, I would do it if I had the energy.
Oh, everybody's rigged something.
There was one time, well, we were unsuccessful in doing this.
Everybody.
There was one time back in the early 2000s before I got into radio. One of my very best friends back then, and even to the day he passed last year, was Ken Hoffman from the Chronicle. And Ken was involved in a lot of different eating events. Yeah. You know, he wrote a lot about food.
You're going to burst my bubble about the kolaches, aren't you?
No. Okay. It has nothing to do with kolaches. There was a rib eating contest at a rib joint downtown.
Okay.
And I was basically, Ken wanted me to get in there and win that thing. So we had a system going where I was sitting next to one of Ken's neighbors handing off ribs. We got caught.
You did?
Yeah, we got caught. The other one actually has to do with my story last week about my community service. Remember when I got caught doing prank calls
to
people?
Yeah.
My community service was driving a golf cart around campus, picking up athletes at their classes, the injured athletes. I got to use that golf cart as essentially a car on campus. And it just so happened that my punishment coincided with spring week, where we had all of the different events. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't have fraternities and sororities at Notre Dame. We had single-sex dorms that functioned as fraternities and sororities. We were allowed to drink and party in them and stuff like that. So we were paired up. Every male dorm was paired up with a girl dorm, and you had all these events. Like Revenge of the Nerds. You had all these different events, and it was like an Olympic thing. And at the end, the one with the most points wins. Mm-hmm. There was a scavenger hunt.
Oh.
There was a scavenger hunt around campus.
I want to see how deep this goes.
Where you had to basically, you know, they give you a clue. You walk to the next place.
Yeah.
Those are fun.
And get the next clue. And eventually you go to five different places on campus and you have to walk the whole thing.
Except you didn't walk.
I hid the golf cart in the bushes. Yeah. Everybody's running one direction. I'm running the other direction and I get in this golf cart.
And somehow you beat them there.
This is the problem. The record was like 53 minutes.
Yeah.
I would literally have to have been a robot to get the time. I felt like my winning time was like 26 minutes or something. Yeah.
And you didn't think about it? You didn't like, let me get to the end and just kind of loiter, loaf around,
No.
make this believable?
Yeah. No, I was there to shatter the record.
Yes.
Needless to say,
you're like Kim Jong-un's dad. Did you ever hear the story about the golf course there? There's like one national golf course in North Korea, and Kim Jong-un's dad has the record at like 35 under par. It was nobody's ever come close to breaking
I'm fairly certain that at least a few of the other participants probably saw me at point on the golf cart. So those are my two.
You know what? I honestly,
but I've not cheated at anything since either of those.
I was at one time during the Great Recession. I was kind of curious about just looking at some of the properties that were being sold for foreclosure and everything. Mm-hmm. So I was in this small rural county where one of my relatives lives, and I just wanted to go out and check it out. And it was this one property came up, and it was like this. It was like, all right, such and such, such property. Do we have any bidders? And a guy was like, $2,000, and it sold immediately.
Oh, wow.
Like, and then moved on to the next one. And I'm like, what the hell did I just see?
It's sketchy.
I'm looking around at all these guys that all knew each other and everything. And I'm like, I'm not asking any questions.
No.
I got to drive home tonight.
That's right. That's right.
That's wild. All right. Well, I can't wait to hear y'all's answer to this question.
I've got a couple good ones. One of them has to do with a casino in Nevada.
That's all I was saying. My answer's probably not that
You're
good.
Still here?
John Lopez's answers, I'm sure, would be very good. And, of course, the listeners, because.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got a lot of scoundrels out there for sure. Yeah.
Not my words, by the way.
No. All right. Crosstalk brought to you by D&M Auto Leasing.
I'd love to hear it.
Thank you. Seth, antibodies to you.
Antibodies and best of luck in all of your future fraudulent scams.
Thank you. Thank you. I've got at least three on the radar. Yeah. All right. You're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM HD2, Houston and Odyssey Sports Station. We're out of time.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.